Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick. Why you turn the fan off?
Yeah. It's going to get hot. You know, I figured it's nice and hot, and let's drink some 15% barrel-aged beers.
Yeah, we're going to be delusional by the end of this show.
Yeah,
man.
And we got salted chips to go with it. The only thing that may save us is the High Life for a little bit of water, if you need it.
It's a good-looking bottle. Yeah. That bottle looks good now.
Looks real nice next to these new gold cans from Revolution.
Yeah, man, they've embraced the gold aesthetic. Gilded, if you will.
Yeah, so we're drinking the latest lineup of the Deepwood series that came out for 2022 here. We're going to talk about all these, a few of our stops, and a couple of their events on this episode. So it should be good. Should be nice and loopy by the end.
Oh, yeah.
So on the last episode, we were talking about these date codes on these Goose Island cans. And it came to our attention that that was a best buy date, like a drink by date or a best buy date.
Yeah.
And breweries have started putting that rather than a fill date. But we were looking at Revolution, and these say 7/13, which has to be a fill date.
Yeah. Aside from these devilishly handsome cans, two things, like Brad mentioned the date, and then the ABV is not on the can. The ABV is under, next to the fill date.
Yeah.
The fill date.
Oh, because this says filled, 7/7. And yeah. That one was 16. Oh, this is only 12.3 on the Lumberstruck.
Yeah. But did we run down these? So we got Lumberstruck, we got Thundertaker, and we got Coconut Death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a return. This is batch 2 of Thundertaker.
Yes.
Now, actually, batch 3, if you count. Well, you know, I don't count it, because, but it was in the original cuvee. One of the components was Thundertaker before it made its own debut. Okay. But brand new to the series are this Lumberstruck. And Coconut Death.
Right, we haven't had coconut. There's been no coconut Deepwoods before.
There's been vanilla twice. I think they've run back. They've run a mixed berry and then the Death by Plums, right? But I know. I think this is the first canned coconut.
Okay.
Them, right.
So we kind of opened them all up, and I've already kind of been diving in. But the coconut says mounds of coconut and oak on it. It's imperial. Stout, aged in bourbon barrels with coconut. And right off, just like my first go, that's kind of my favorite right now.
Yeah, you like that one?
I got a little whiff of the Lumberstruck, so I haven't really tried that yet, but.
Yeah, I mean, Imperial, what is it? Death Star base. It's an oatmeal stout.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a barrel-aged oatmeal stout, and you throw some coconut in there.
Yeah. And you've tried. Previously, a couple days ago, you were drinking the coconut and the Thundertaker, right?
No. Coconut and Lumberstruck.
I feel like the Lumberstruck and Thundertaker are slightly confusing because you think Thunderstruck.
They're like the AC/DC song.
Right?
Yeah. But it's Thundertaker.
Could you just mix them together and be Thunderstruck-taker?
I saw at the... speaking of mixes, they're taking one of these and adding, it's a super massive Lumberstruck,
oh,
I believe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This Lumberstruck, man, I already messed myself up. It's aged in wine barrels. It says black, it's a black barley wine, but and then it's in wine barrels, so I think black berries, like black wine. I don't know. Like,
So
it's because it tastes fruity.
I was under, I, you know, I, I don't know what it was, but I don't remember seeing a descriptor on Lumberstruck at all. And then I picked up the can and it said black barley wine. And then, you know, pour it out. And I'm like, okay, cool. This is definitely dark. But then, like, now we're drinking it in the light. And it's actually, it's in line with their other barley wines as far as color goes.
Yeah.
So I wonder what the black represents.
What makes it black?
Right.
Are not all barley wines black?
No, I remember remember that crew back in the day, Juanita Brewing? They used to do the Bombers. They were from like Utah or some shit. They were somewhere. Yeah. But anyway, they had a black ale called Labyrinth. And it was delicious. I think they had a barrel-aged version. I would get it all the time. And it was just a really dark beer. Okay. I think black ale, I think, hey, we took the barley wine recipe, but we kind of swapped out some of the regular caramel malts for, like, you know, bitter chocolate,
right,
dark malts, right? That's what you think in my head. But then when we poured it, the hue indicates maybe that wasn't the case, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm actually kind of maybe liking this one a little more than coconut.
Yeah, I think that's got some fun moves, man, that Lumberstruck. So it's a black barley wine aged in wine barrels. And they brand the name of the winery on the side, Saxum Wines. Okay. I have no idea who that is. When you look them up, they got some pricey wines, man. There was everything from like 100 up to 400, right? Okay. And I don't know if that's pricey by wine standards, but $100 is a lot for a fucking bottle of wine.
It seems like a decent amount.
Yeah, it seems like a good amount.
Yeah.
It's not too much.
Right.
Yeah, but that place, that winery is in Paso Los Robles, the same place that Firestone Walker is, I think, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so... In the past, I've heard Marty talk about that relationship and how, you know, since they're always invited to the Firestone Invitational and they had this relationship with, like, wine producers and they started understanding wine casks and how people wouldn't sell them to them because wineries, they're very well made and wineries don't really give them away. They keep them and keep using them.
Yeah, okay.
And he started discovering these bungs. They're basically, they look like link chains, but they're made of French oak. And if you stick those into a neutral barrel, you get this wine barrel effect.
Oh,
I've heard Marty talk about that in the past.
Okay.
So I'm very excited to hear about, like, what the background is for this one, you know?
Yeah, typically on all the other Deep Woods, we have done the episode after a Zoom call. And was there not a call this time?
It all, and then it's running up against the general release pretty quick. Like, by the time the F comes out, it'll probably already be on the streets, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the run-up to it was, there was more runway.
Yeah, there was like 2
before
weeks
the release.
We had everything. We were able to have them like a week before.
Yeah.
Everyone else was able to get them.
So this is a little different rollout for them.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. So it's interesting. You know, my first impressions on this Lumberstruck, man, like when I had it, I'm like, you know how like those wine barrels, Dark Lords, how they always end up being kind of messy and a little too sweet and almost like plum saucy, right?
Okay.
And there's notes of that. There's notes of like, you know, really dark, rich fruit. But then it kind of cleans up and kind of reminds me a little bit of Straitjacket and it reminds me a little bit of Ryeway. But then it also reminds me of like a port wine.
Yeah.
Like kind of reminds me of all three a little bit. And that's kind of what made it interesting for me when I first sipped it. I'm like, huh. Look at that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I wonder if you could also reduce it down into like a syrup. I know you're all about these breakfast beers, but like a pancake syrup or waffle syrup here.
Man, they do a Lumberstruck syrup. I'll be there for that.
Awesome.
Yeah, but
so one of the Lumberstruck is not seeing general release, correct?
Right. So it sounds like Thundertaker is a collab with Benny's.
Okay.
Right. I think it was Benny's.
Was it last time
as
well?
Yeah, it was Benny's Blanton's Barrels, and it was co-branded with Benny's last time around. And Coconut Death will see production or distribution. But it sounds like Lumberstruck was only available during the pre-sale.
Okay.
So.
Which they messed up.
Well, something went wrong. There was a glitch, and everyone, you know, you're not beer people. Beer people are mad any fucking way on social.
Yeah. Even if they didn't get it, they would have been mad.
Yeah.
And it even went well. Oh, yeah.
They really shit the bed on this release. You know, like, that. Everyone says that with every release in the beer world. But it sounds like something went wrong on their site. So to make up for it, it looks like they're going to have these available the day of the release at the brew pub. Or is that the brew pub? Yeah.
Kedzie location.
At the brew pub on Fullerton.
Oh.
They'll be there.
On Milwaukee?
Yeah. Oh. Friday at Milwaukee. You can go there and purchase a 4-pack of all three if you want. 2 hours before the taproom release.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You going? Yeah. Four-pack of Lumberstruck seems like a pretty good deal. It's got to be like $60.
Right, right.
40, 60.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the beer. We'll see. It's 90 degrees out, Brad. I don't really do 90 degrees.
I'm feeling like I could put that in like one of my top deep woods.
It's fun. It's new. And then, you know, it's a wrinkle in their barley wine universe, right? Like, I think Rye Way is the best beer they make. And we all love VSOJ, right? And, you know, Straight Jacket's reliable. But this is kind of its own thing, profile-wise. Like, it just kind of tastes different from those things.
Yeah.
So I dig that. I'm glad that they're just kind of expanding the offerings in the barley wine space. They've always said, hey, we always wanted to make rye wine sexy. That's the CBAC quote. We wanted to make rye wine sexy, but before we do that, we had to make barley wine sexy. And they're really kind of hanging there, waving that flag, that barley wine flag, so fucking strong. I respect that. Barley wines are fucking nice at Rev, man.
Yeah, damn. What do you feel about the new cans? You digging?
Yeah, I think when you put them next to the old cans, we were saying in the pre-show, it's like they look good on their own. You know, they're gold. I think the label is a lot of gold on the label. The can itself, the top of the can is labeled. Mm-hmm. It's gold. The top of the can is gold. And when you put it next to the old can, I mean, it's a significant improvement, I think.
Yeah.
Like, these cans look great, man. It's like, you know how the Reaper? He's the Reaper that's been on all the cans?
Yeah.
The Reaper's just kind of come to life.
Yeah.
More so. He's doing more stuff. I think before he was just kind of on the can.
Looking evil.
Yeah. And now he's like in action. Or even shit, in the case of Thundertaker, like, it's not the Reaper at all. It's like a whole nother dude.
Gravedigger, Billy kind of person.
So, I like the refresh, man. It looks good.
I think the Reaper is inside the coffin.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
For that one.
That's a nice little detail you picked up right there. Yeah. So, Thundertaker is an Imperial Rye Stout. Coconut Deeth is the Imperial Stout. And Lumberstruck is a black barley wine in wine barrels.
Okay. And then for the event that, you know, will be after this episode comes out, is there anything special going on at the production brewery?
Yeah, for the sanctuary. So you'll pick up your bottles or your cans, and then you'll have these taproom-only variants for the release. So, man, these look good, man. There's five of them, you know. One is called a Double Barrel Thunder Sauce.
Okay.
There's a Basil Hayden Toasted Oak Lumberstruck. There's a Supermassive Coconut Deeth, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Supermassive Coconut Deeth, yeah. Oh, shit is right.
I say I'm going to go, and this might make me actually go.
I'm saying, and you know what I like about their releases, man? They do a good job of spacing it out over a couple days. Mm-hmm. So if you don't go Friday, you can slide in there on a Saturday and maybe even a Sunday sometimes. And still see stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is Double Barrel Death and Roses. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know if you want to dive into either one. Let's start with this Supermassive Coconut Deeth, if we don't talk about nothing else. It's it sounds like it's a blend of the sweet Death Star barrels, aged for 18 months in Elijah Craig and Heaven Hill bourbon barrels, with twice the dose of coconut than regular coconut deeth.
Oh, so there's no coffee in it. It's just they're using Supermassive as a... There was a Supermassive coffee, which is like a lot of fucking coffee.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And this
is
a lot of fucking coconut.
That's a good call out, because what I first thought, I thought coffee and coconut when I read it.
Right.
But they're just using the term Supermassive again, and this time it's for the coconut.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's interesting. Huh.
Man, less, I was hoping, less interesting.
I was hoping it had I was hoping it was Supermassive Deeth with coconut.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping. Yeah, I'm glad we read that one.
Damn. Okay.
Now I'm like, yeah.
Is the Roses one, is that in Four Roses barrels?
Yeah, it looks like Four Roses in Heaven Hill barrels for 5 years.
Hmm.
That could be interesting.
Damn.
Man, you know, because when those beers, man, even with the overpriced $80 Goose one, the one that was 2 years, that's a two-year-old BCS.
Okay.
I mean, you put it in a barrel for 2 years, man, and it's hard to beat, you know, that just big... Because these stouts are so big and these barley wines are so sweet, that barrel character is just so nice and complimentary at that 2 year phase, man. It's really fun.
And you know, I haven't been for a beer at the Rev Kedzie since one of the Deep Woods releases. It was the day that Sox was doing the Golden Ale, and you didn't come, and then I was hanging out there.
At Sox Park?
You were at Sox Park for the release announcement of the Sox Golden Ale from Goose Island, and that was the same night as the Deep Woods thing.
Oh, yeah. Because I think that was at it was at Sox Fest, I think.
Yeah.
At McCormick Place, I think. Yeah.
Possibly, yeah. And then so you didn't make it that one. Then previous for that, we both were there and we hung out for a long time in the back. Cuddy was there, and yeah, that one got wild.
So. Man.
So I feel like it's time I go back.
I mean. Nothing says 93 degrees in Chicago like showing up to a warehouse on Kedzie to drink some 19% beers that have been aging for 5 years. And then, you know, we can see what they do on draft, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because some of them, they play different on draft, you know? People, like, I hated Mind Shift Gap. I think it was like... What was it? It was like a Belgian candy strong ale or some shit, collaboration with Sun King. In a can, I hated it. People swore by it on draft.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, I'm curious. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. What are we doing tomorrow? Are we going to that?
I mean, I'm not against it, Brad. Okay. You know, where does this rank in your coconut? In the coconut, what's the word? You know, like, in the range of coconut beers that you've had over the years.
Oh, man.
Are you into coconut beers like that?
I am. I think Maui has like a coconut beer.
Yeah, like coconut porter, I think.
And I like can picture that one.
There's
like,
Death by Coconut by Oscar Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know you're a bigger coconut fan than I am, but I enjoy it, and you only see it in like darker beers often.
There's Prop. Props often has coconut in it.
Yeah.
Like coconut, like straight up coconut, and then coconut water going forward. There's L.A. Looks by Half Acre. That's a coconut IPA.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
You know, what I meant to say, just remind me of, I had the one night I went out to Skeleton Key out in the Burbs.
Yeah.
They had a coconut pale ale on.
Okay.
And I tried that. And I was like, man, this actually really works. Right?
I feel like the wording on the label got in my head because it's like mounds of coconut and oak. So I think Mounds Bar. Right. So then I'm like, okay, coconut works better in like a chocolatey form than a LA Looks kind of coconut.
Coconut will take over.
Right. So I'm digging it. It's working for me. I don't know if I have a coconut hierarchy.
Yeah. I was thinking about the first time I had coconut Vlad. And Vlad is, you know, what is it? The Tinley Park Hailstorm.
Mm-hmm.
The Hailstorm crew, there's a bunch of different Vlads, you know, barrel-aged, just a barrel-aged style series. And the first time I had that, I'm like, this is unapologetically coconut as fuck, and I am here for it.
Yeah.
I had it 2 years in a row, but the first time I had it, that was my high for a coconut, any kind of coconut beer. So I'm still chasing it. This is the Rev version of coconut, right? So it's going to play well with the other ingredients, right? You're going to taste it, but it's not going to be, you know, over the top.
Mm-hmm.
So
It feels chocolatey, like sweeter, desserty.
Yeah.
Than coconut, I guess.
So that's why I'm kind of curious about the Supermassive Coconut. See, that's where they just let their hair down. Because, you know, Rev's all about we want balanced beers before anything.
Can I get it served in a coconut?
Mm.
Now that, I don't need a straw, but just like cut open that coconut, fill it up.
That's rock and roll right there.
That'd be pretty good.
That would be cool.
Give me like a spoon to scoop out the coconut meat after you drink it.
No
then
spoon.
You get the extra coconut.
You know it ain't going to be no AC in this fucking place. You want them to have
AC.
You think so?
There's AC.
I've been there a couple times. There's no AC. Well, maybe that was the old days. You want them to have coconuts, cut them in half, and then give you a knife or a fork or a spoon.
Yeah.
I'm there. You had me a coconut because I kind of want mine in a coconut now, too. They're not gonna give us a spoon.
What if we just got plastic coconut, ordered them on Amazon, and showed up, and then poured our beer in there
for the photo. For the shot? I think I'm here for it. It's peak summer too, man. I could wear some wacky ass Hawaiian shit. We both got wacky ass Hawaiian shit.
I wonder if I can order those for next day.
Man, I think we just figured it out. This shit writes itself, Brad.
This is exactly what happens when there's too much heat and we're drinking 15% beer.
So, I think we were saying in the pre-show, like, we were expecting this to be a summer release where it's just kind of like...
Mixed berry.
Yeah, your honey jackets, etc. We didn't get any of that this time. This is July, and this looks like the launch.
Right, but the launch is D-Star. Right? Like, that's not here.
Yeah.
And that kind of sets it up as like, yo, this starts it. Right? Yeah.
That's true. So what is the full lineup?
So this feels like a strange time frame of release and a weird lineup. You know, I feel like they release them when they're ready. That's kind of, I feel like we've heard that before. Like they're not, they have plans for certain dates, but if one becomes ready before another one, they're going to move stuff around.
Yeah.
But this feels like a big release for the middle of the summer when we've usually typically seen smaller one or two releases during the summer.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. So I'm just kind of curious to know where this falls in the full schedule.
Oh, there is a full schedule up?
I feel like they've mentioned it, right?
Okay.
2021, 2022. So this would be 2022, 2023.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Did they? I don't see it.
Oh, I don't know.
We've got less information than ever before on this stuff.
Exactly.
Like I'm not seeing the lineup anywhere, man.
Okay.
So I don't want to keep looking during the show. But.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you are out and picking these up in distro, keep an eye on them. We do wish there was a variety, like a two Thundertaker, two Coconut Death pack. But if you're at a place that maybe will open the four packs and let you individually them, I think that's the way to go. I don't think you necessarily need four Coconuts or four Thundertakers.
I agree with that.
So,
I think these are the only ones they've released so far, as the series.
So your best bet is to find a buddy and you each buy one 4-pack, and then grab two of them each.
Oh no, they have the full lineup. We just need to be patient. Yeah. So July 22nd, that's these three. October 14th is the next release.
And that's probably
Death Star, Cafe D, Death by Karan. So I feel like that's the launch.
Okay.
Yeah. November 18th. Straight Jacket, Rye Way, very special old dark mode, which sounds like the 2-year-old version of the Milk Stout.
Okay, that's a new one.
Yeah. January 20th, it closes out with Boss Rye Way and Double Barrel, very special old jacket.
Okay. I feel like that lineup, not to poo-poo it doesn't sound as exciting. It sounds like we're playing the hits.
We dialed in what we make good, and we're running it back.
Yeah.
All the way down to the Return of Death by Karan's.
Right.
Were you into Death by Karan's?
Remember, we talked about this on the episode where I went to the tasting of, like, the voting.
That's right. That's what it was.
And yeah. I don't think I voted for Karan. I don't know. I don't need this in my life.
I thought it was a bit much.
Yeah.
Like, it was too much for me. It's too much, like, I'm not into candy. I mean, I like desserts. I'm not super into just like straight up pieces of candy. Okay. And it felt like that to me. Like it felt like fruit filled candy. I wasn't in.
Okay. Well, maybe look for our on Instagram. We'll do a 5 favorite Deep Woods cans, like we did the Alarmist, 5 favorite Alarmist beers. So maybe we'll do that on IG. So look for that. I think we have probably our favorites if we haven't already drank them.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's sneaky good is fucking Death by Cherries.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I have it, I'm just here for more of it.
Okay. All right. Cool. So look for that. Look for these cans, and we'll keep sipping on these and our high life and try not to go crazy.
Yeah, man.
This week, what'd you get after besides getting into these?
Man, cheers to Small Bar. Small Bar Logan.
Okay.
The only Small Bar. They turned 20 this year.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about, like, you know, your West Lake Views, your Hop Leaves, you know, places you could go where craft beer wasn't, you know, out and off and running and in newspapers and all that kind of shit. It was more of a regional phenomenon, you know. Small Bar was on that list of places, you know, whether it was Maria's or, you know, all these other kind of early 2010 places.
Yeah, it was just a good beer lineup. Not that it was knock your socks off, but it was like these, it had craft beer. You could count on it having craft beer.
Yeah. Patio open till like 1 a.m. My favorite component is that it's on the end of a residential block, right? You don't see too many of those in the city. I'm always a fan of that.
Yeah.
They had an old-fashioned black party, man. Block party.
Okay. Yeah. Old-fashioned black party. I was like, all right, I don't know.
So it was in conjunction with whatever that street is. So Small Bar is occupying their intersection, but then, you know, there's like a jumping jack and a bunch of children's shit like on the next block.
So and just the neighbors hanging out with their like lawn chairs and their tables being like, here's my potato salad. Oh, I got some beers here.
Exactly. Yeah. So Odious Cellars was pouring in the patio and then they were grilling out front. There was a local barbecue joint I have never heard of that was grilling out front. So the kitchen was closed that day and everything was outside.
Neat.
Yeah. And they just had a bunch of local acts playing and, you know. Regular outside, you know, summertime block party, man.
Very cool.
Jerobi from a Trap Called Quest was DJing.
Oh, shit.
Which was kind of a surprise. I'm like, is he in Chicago often? Like, does he hang out at Small Bar when he comes to Chicago? I had so many questions.
Yeah.
I got none of them answered.
You didn't?
No.
Talk to him?
I didn't get to talk to him. Because you see him for a second, and I'm like, I'm going to go talk to him, then he's gone.
Okay.
And, you know, he's not DJing until the end, but I show up at, like, noon, and he's there. And I'm like, I should go say something. And then I don't, and then I don't see him again.
Huh.
Yeah. But it's interesting, when you look up Jerobi, Trap Called Quest, he's in all the videos. Can I Kick It? You know, I Left My Well in El Segundo. He's in all the videos, but then you never heard him talk. But his bio says he's like one of the co-founders of Tribe, which was kind of, It's like, you know, a lot of these concepts for the album were his idea.
Oh, that's cool.
But he's the one that he never rapped. He was just kind of like the spiritual presence, if you will, right? It was kind of weird. Oh, but cheers to them. I think Ailman, Chicago's own Ailman, they brewed a beer for the occasion. So they brewed the Small Bar beer, which was like a pale ale.
Okay. I feel like Ailman comes up in that manner where they helped someone brew a beer or did this thing or worked with someone else. I could not tell you what an Ailman can beer looks like. I don't know if I've ever seen one.
I'm only familiar with them because they were in that homebrew, Chef Juan Kim kind of homebrew scene, and they won the contest where Stone and two brothers were looking for a homebrewer to make a collab beer with. Ailman won that contest. So that's, but outside of that, I wouldn't be familiar with them. Yeah. And like you say, you see them, I drink them at Fest because I know them, but I don't really see their beers enough to drink them.
Okay.
So. So I had that on draft, and then I had we were talking about Buckle Down. I had a Buckle Down Hazy on draft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I was done with draft beers. I'm like, I saw everyone drinking High Life and everyone drinking fucking Jolly Pumpkin out of can. So I went that route. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Oh, it was cool. Not too much to report there. Just, it was fun to get back to Small Bar. It's a place, I'm not that far from there, but then also I never go. So it's cool to get back over there, and it's cool that they turned 20.
Yeah, I can remember being in there. I don't remember the last time I was there, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Any other spots? Or that was your main?
Man, that's actually all I did, man.
Okay.
That's all I did.
It's funny that you bring up Tribe, because I was over at Temperance, and you know how they do those concerts.
Yeah, the outside.
Yeah, you went to...
I saw Slick Rick.
Right.
In the parking lot at Temperance.
Right. And then I was looking at the lineup. KRS-One.
It's going to be at Temperance?
It's going to be at Temperance. I was like, I sort of have to go to this. Like, you have to go see...
He's a blastmaster, KRS-One.
When...
He's the teacher.
When would you ever see KRS-One, right?
And he's probably really good live, too, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like... I think it was... August 3rd or August 8th, it's up on our Instagram in the little video reel, but I was like, what? That's crazy.
Fucking, they're not fucking around, man. Fucking Parliament Funkadelic was there.
Yeah.
Fucking Big Boy from Outkast was there. Twister's been there. Like, they get some acts.
Right.
And it's literally the parking lot.
It's just the parking lot.
That's pretty hilarious.
So for whatever reason, I stopped in at Temperance this past weekend. I think I was heading towards the West Burbs to run some errands, and I'm exhausting, or not the West Burbs, that Evanston, Wilmette kind of area.
Kind of North Shore-ish.
Yeah, and I'm exhausting the, I can't go to Meshuggah.
Meshuggah. Meshuggah. Brad goes there more than everybody.
I can't go there again.
He refuses to say the name, right?
I can't go there again. So I was like, well, Double Clutch is good, but let's hit up Temperance.
That's true, because those are, what's the other, Evanston. There's
you got
four
Smiley.
In Evanston. You never go to Sketchbook. Or Smiley. When the last time you've been to Smiley?
Yeah, that's low on my list. But
it looks like a lodge.
But we went to like a Sketchbook before our Black Long trip, and then I've gone to the Skokie one a couple times.
I like the Skokie one a little more.
Yeah, so I didn't need to go to Sketchbook. So Temperance seemed like a good spot.
Yeah,
got myself a basement party on draft.
Dude, you put me on a basement party. Basement party is really good.
Yeah,
really good.
And then Maeve got, I forget what she got, but yeah, it was good, just like kind of like a one beer hangout on the patio. It was Saturday, and like almost no one was there. It was weird. It was a nice Saturday, and just not a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, good to pop in there. I didn't grab any beer, just kind of the standard lineup that they usually have.
Well, the fact that you told me Kairos 1 is there is enough for me.
They were,
I didn't know that.
Gotta go, but like I was like, in shock. I gotta check the date on that and see if there's tickets needed or if you just show up. I don't know for the other ones. Did you just show up?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't remember us buying tickets to Slick Rick. Mm-hmm. I think we just showed up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, okay. And then went to another classic stop this week. Stopped in a piece.
Oh, man. Chicago's most award-winning brew pub.
Right. Let you know when you're taking a piss.
It's everywhere. If you don't know nothing else about Peace, you know that.
They got a lot of awards. They have a new Pilsner called Premier Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good. And then I had something called the Galaxy Haze, which was not good.
So they're doing a full refresh. Do they have any of the beers on from the, you know,
they
your
have
traditional
the
stuff?
They have the Hefeweizen. They have the Swingin' Single. And the Golden Arm.
So I think Top Heavy, right, is the Hef.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Top Heavy, Swingin' Single, and
Golden Arm. Which I think might be a Kolsch.
Were the main ones, yeah.
Okay, good. So they're doing some new stuff, and then they're paying homage to the stuff that got them notoriety.
Yeah, but the Hazy, the Galaxy Haze was a hazy pale ale.
It's not your jam.
I left half of it.
That's how I felt about this. And I don't know if it was the draft line or the beer, but that's how I felt about the small bar beers I had. I'm like, what's going on with these beers? Yeah. I just want to be happy. And yeah. I'm not, you know?
The Pilsner was good. It was solid. Really no complaints there. Not the best Pilsner, but it was good. Hit the spot.
Right on.
So, yeah.
Then you had Za. Then there ain't no change in the Za.
Yeah.
They better not change the Za.
That was solid.
Yeah. You got to eat it there. That's my only grandpa.
I was there for lunch, so I got a little personal.
Yeah.
One. It's just enough.
That's all you need.
You're good.
Yeah. Those are old stomping ground right there.
I know. So, yeah, a couple good little stops right there. Classic.
Yeah.
I feel like there were classic stops this week.
Yeah. I think we're good. We're good for the route of Half Acre Maplewood piece. We're good for that, like every third episode.
I know, right? I'm like, I gotta one stop going to fucking Evanston, cause.
Oh yeah, I mean, Brad's just that's his thing. He's got these electric bikes. He's like, let's go to Evanston.
I need to go somewhere else. I gotta like go off the path and go the other way to like Church Street or something.
Yeah, you gotta go to that little what was the Sean Curry spot where he's like they got a two barrel system and some taco joint.
Oh, remember I went there.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, it was good, but why?
Why is there? Why are you making beer at the taco joint?
Damn. Cool. Events. What
yeah,
we got?
Man. We are peak summer, Brad, aside from the release at Rev for the Deep Woods returning. We've got a celebration of wood and spirits, man, at Microphone on July. Oh, that's July 30th.
Oh, so next weekend.
That's next weekend, yeah. So, but they're doing guest drafts. This is the Smells Like a Bean Spirit celebration.
Okay.
So you can pick up the bottle release, and then they're going to have a full-blown festival.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, cheers to them, man. They got they have a license in Elk Grove Village now to sell the source spirit. So when they do single barrels with a distillery,
oh, that's right. I saw that news.
They can sell the bottles there, and that wasn't the case before.
Cool.
Licensing, man.
Yeah. Very nice. And then we mentioned Oak Park Microbrew. That's coming up. Old Irving Barbecue and Beer Fest is coming up in early August.
Yeah, that's always like a fundraiser for like a school over there, like a parish.
Yeah, and it's not far from where we record at. So
that's true. It's
I
not.
I think I totally blanked on it last weekend.
Is it St. Viator? Or are you talking about just the party?
Just the party.
Okay.
No. So I got to check that out.
Okay.
Then, did you have one more event?
I saw those two. The Smells Like a Bean Spirit and the Rev one.
Okay.
Right? And yeah, that's all I see. And we talked about picking up cans. If you want to pick up cans, before the tap room pours the special variants for the day, you can go over to
Rev
and pick up these cans if you want.
You're listening to this episode, so you've already missed that.
Oh, so. That is true.
Cool. And then the only bit of news I saw was about Twisted Hippo headed into District Brew Yards, which we knew. We hinted at it, but we couldn't. We never get the, like, okay talk about
breaking
this.
News. You always get the shoulder tap, like, hey, you know this is happening.
Yeah.
We're that crew where we know about it and we can tell everyone in person, but we can't. We don't break the news.
Yeah. Should we just break it?
People
tell us the stuff?
I say next time we break it, and then if they
get mad,
then stop.
Okay.
But, yeah. But now it's like this. There's a ton of stuff that comes out, and we know about it. We don't break it,
right?
And if we broke it, it would have been way before right now.
Yeah, no one would have been reading fucking Josh Knowles like, oh my god, this is like breaking news. Like,
we already talked. Yeah, because when was that?
Well, Dan told us on when he was here.
It feels like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I say we start doing
back
that
in May.
I say we start doing that. Yeah.
Because Bulldog already announced that. But previously that they were out, so no one really knew who was coming in there yet.
And I think cheers to Twisted Hippo. We like those guys. We recorded there twice. But the part of the story no one's talking about, it sounds like Bulldog's closing shop.
Yeah, they're basically going on hiatus. That's an event that's happening next weekend, is basically go to distribute yards and drink just Bulldog's beer. They're like, just help us get rid of it all. Like, it can't be sold after the end of the month. That's probably whatever contract they have. Like, they probably get paid for through the end of the month, basically. So anything that's left probably gets repackaged as something else.
Yeah. I wonder what went into what was going on at Brewers that needed to be shaken up. Like, what happened there, right? Like, Bulldog's out and microphones, no, or Twisted Hippo's in.
From what I feel like I was told at Beer Under Glass from Jerome, which, you know, we could do an episode with him and Sherry, they come on. They had a hard time growing beyond them, and Dan is sort of the brewer / one of the marketing people. And you need a fucking hype person.
Dan around the bend, Dan.
Yeah.
He's leading the charge, selling the beer as well as making the beer. So he's kind of the face of it.
Right. And so you need a bigger person than someone that's just, you know, doing stuff on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, you need someone that's like out there, just bullshitting with people, drinking their beer, drinking your beer. And I don't think they could do that to get people excited about Bulldog.
Yeah. It was fun to see the progression, right?
Yeah.
I was really liking their beers when they got to Brewyards.
Yeah.
Right? I think they actually benefited most from that setup as far as, like, man, they're making some good fucking beers at Bulldog. But that was from my distance. From a distant view, that's what my assumption was, too. It's like, from the hardest part of this is, like, we got this good beer, and it's we got the ability to package it. But yeah, are we connecting with regards to selling it?
Yeah. My concern now with Bulldog being out is District Brewer's lineup looks a little wacky. Like, ingredients wise. Like, around the bend. You know, Dan's always pushing different flavors and kind of has.
Yeah.
Casa Humilde, they have these Latin ingredients that are, they're the fucking, just weird, like also weird beers.
And now, now hippo, and you thought it was weird before. Now here comes the hippos.
Right, who scaled down their weirdness with the pandemic and everything and kind of like figured out what the neighborhood wanted.
Right.
And now this allows them to experiment more, which awesome, good for them. But it starts to be like, oh, I think Burt City might have the normal. Like if you want an IPA, you're going to get a Burt City IPA, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's good. It keeps, you know, it keeps Briard's at the front of the conversation. Good for them. Yeah. Good for Hippo, you know. Good for them. That's a win all day.
And then Hippo will be at the Wheeling location.
Yeah.
And it does not count them out of opening their own space still.
I think that was the big takeaway from the Around the Bend chat. Was like, hey, these guys have come together like Voltron for this super cool modern brew pub with, you know, four walls, pour your own beer, in two locations now.
Well, Wheeling will be five walls.
Oh, five walls.
Yeah.
And so there's room for one more.
There's another one that's going to be in Wheeling.
Huh. Oh, and then also it doesn't remove the conversation for them to branch off and do their own thing and participate in Brew Arts, which is, that's good. That's good to know.
Because it gets people to, like, I would almost think just Brew Arts crew wants that because it brings people back to their space. If you're like, Twisted Hippo has their own space, I'm excited. It's just too far from me. Like, I love to go there, but I'm closer to Disrepair Yards. Look at this. I can drink their beer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's good shit all around. So, yeah. Good for them.
So, that's what's happening. Right. Anything else?
Man, I think that's it, man.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, we're going to sip on these, turn their fan back on, cool down a little bit.
Brad, you got to turn that fan on, man.
Yeah. So, Nick, where can people get in touch, find you? We're not here, or we're not at Rev drinking off our coconut.
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRad, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram. I may put our reels up on TikTok.
Hell yeah.
So I think we should do that.
Yeah.
So look for those.
Do we have a TikTok?
I think we do have one, but I've never posted anything there. I just got it, so we had it. Didn't need someone else imitating us.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, look for another episode, hopefully next week. Take care.
Cheers.